Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:17 British Summer Time. Today is April 17th. And today we saw that the commodity complex in particular got really hit hard once more. The copper market and the Brent crude markets are probably the most noteworthy, where copper was down by over 13 cents on the COMEX contract, and that's pulling back towards the $3 area, which has been an historical area of support. But this has been such a marked deterioration that it's emblematic of really quite a deal of selling pressure right across the commodity complex. And Brent crude is back below $100 and is extending that decline, and West Texas Intermediate is down by $2 and it's down to 86. And by and large, we see that the commodities more generally have really been pulling back very sharply over the last number of weeks. That is also the case in precious metals. And while we've had this pause in the decline in gold prices, it will really need to do more than it has done in the last few days to begin to suggest that the demand component is back in the driver's seat. And over the course of the advance in gold from 2002-2003 all the way through to 2011, over extensions relative to the 200-day moving average in the region of between 25 and 29%, were generally emblematic of massive overextensions, and we could then anticipate that there was going to be a reversion back towards the mean. And at the low that we've had in the last two or three days with gold, the overextension relative to where the 200-day moving average is right now is approximately 24%. So it is very overextended at present. And while we don't have really very convincing evidence just yet that a low of any kind of significance has been formed, we are at a deeply oversold level. And to the extent that gold is overextended, then the gold shares are even more overextended, and there are a significant number of those shares are back into single-digit multiples. And while that does represent a potential value, we're not really going to see a catalyst for investor interest in the gold sector until we see some evidence that gold prices can sustain a rally. But such has been the uptrend deterioration and deterioration in the consistency characteristics that we've had in gold, then it is really going to have to push up and hold in advance to really start to get people reanimated and reinterested in back on the demand component. Now, in Asia this morning, in the stocks, China was off its lows, but its banking sector was a bit weaker. And the weakness of the Chinese banking sector, not least because it's by far the biggest sector in the market, is a bit of a headwind in the short term. But that isn't the case in a number of other markets in Asia, and most particularly in Australia, where the ASX 200 was up about a 1% in here today, but the financials index pushed on to a new recovery high. And at least part of the reason for that is because there are some very attractive yields in Australian financials, and particularly in terms of the carry trade, with the Bank of Japan deliberately targeting inflation and going all out to achieve its target of 2% in the next year or two, then the loss of purchasing power that that represents for your Japanese saver, it makes the allure of neighboring higher yielding currencies and financial assets that bit more attractive. And also in Asia, we are presented with some of the better performing stock markets generally. And it is particularly noteworthy that the Indonesian market and the Malaysian markets pushed on to new all-time highs in here today. And the Filipino market is very steady, really right in the region of its 200-day moving average. And the Thai market has also steadied in here. And the Indian financials, the Bombay banking sector, to be correct, is exhibiting relative strength relative to the wider market. So even though we're looking at Europe in here today, where both the CAC and the DAX were down in excess of 2%, and the FTSE was down a bit less than 1%, the Swiss market was down over 2%, and on Wall Street, the S&P 500 was down 1.4%, and the Dow was down just less than 1%. Brazil was down over 2%. That it is Asia which has been leading throughout. And while some of those markets that hit new highs in here today are unlikely to be able to really improve on that performance in a significant way when some of the really large cap markets are still in this corrective phase, their relative strength and the fact that they have held up so remarkably well throughout this corrective phase is very much in their favor. With Wall Street, we've had two downward dynamics in the last three sessions, and it is looking increasingly likely that despite the fact that Wall Street has been such a remarkable holdout in terms of its performance when the majority of other markets have been in a reactionary phase since late January, that we are now getting the mean reversion that has looked so likely over the last few weeks in particular. And the fact that the S&P got right up to test the 1600 point area, which was the next area of potential resistance, having already hit a new all-time high and is now pulling back, suggests that we are in a mean reversion phase for Wall Street. But it's probably no more than a mean reversion phase. Now, with Europe, the DAX got right down to the 7,500 area, and that represents the lower side of its range, and it represents a potential area of support, but we really would need to see an upward dynamic, and an upward dynamic that's held for more than a couple of days, to begin to instill confidence. And the Euro Stoxx 50 hit its lowest level this year in here today, and it was down over 2%. The European banking sector is still above the psychological 100 area, but only just above that, and a decline of more than 2 points would see it breaking below that level. So something that we've seen on a number of occasions in the last 3 or 4 years is that when we get into these corrective phases, that we get this rather gradual deterioration in some markets. And as we enter the latter stages of a reversion, that the pace of the decline tends to increase. And we may be seeing that now on Wall Street and in some of those European markets. It is also noteworthy that some of the sharpest deteriorations that we've had have been in the commodity-related markets like Brazil and like Russia. And Brazil in particular, down 2.25% in here today, is back towards the 52,000 handle. And the sort of lower side of its range over the last number of years has been closer to 50,000. So it is flirting with the lower side of what has been a very lengthy range. And Russia is coming back towards probably breaking its progression of higher reaction lows that have been evident for more than a year. And these are two markets that are classically associated with the commodity complex, and commodities generally are pulling back rather sharply. Now, in the short term, that might be reflective of some perceptions that growth may be slowing, or that there is a general deleveraging or a de-risking in the commodity complex. And the fact that it isn't just gold or it isn't just oil, but it is really very spread out in terms of the selling pressure in the commodity complex, does suggest that at least there is some deleveraging going on in there. in the medium term, that's likely to be really very positive indeed for stock markets. So even though we are in this corrective phase, and even though there is still uncertainty, not least in Europe, and we can anticipate that a number of markets will pull back towards their 200-day moving averages, and that sentiment will deteriorate as we get this additional pullback. But if commodity prices do continue to decline, that represents a potential area where profits and margins will increase for a number of large industrials. And that could help to spur additional stock market gains when this corrective phase has run its course. In the meantime, Eurobunds are back above 146, and that's been the upper side of what's been a year-long range for what have been the safe haven in terms of the Eurozone. And if one were to look at that over the last 5 years, then this has been a bit of a broadening pattern in the last year, but it's right at the top of the range. And in the absence of a downward dynamic, then you'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to some additional upside in here. And US Treasuries are back above 148 in here. And again, it would be a downward dynamic would be required to question potential for some additional upside, not least when Wall Street is in a reactionary phase. And the dollar was quite a bit firmer in here today. And against the euro was a little bit firmer in the early part of the day and got up as high as 132, but it's closing out the day closer to 130. And that's almost a full cent and a half deterioration off the open. And the pound was also a little bit weaker in here today. It was down over a full point against the US dollar. And the Australian dollar, having got almost up to 104, is closing out the day below 103. So we are getting a little bit of additional dollar strength in here. And that is consistent with the risk-off type environment. And also the VIX index, which has been remarkably low over the last few months, does look like it can rally further from this level. And it was a bit firmer in here today. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.